This podcast contains mature themes and situations. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, I'm Jason Adams, host of the Random Signal podcast. I'm also the co-host of Lulu Radio and the video podcast This Day in Alternate History. You can find out more at randomsignal.com and thisdayinalternatehistory.com. You're listening to Chapter 7 of Murder at Avedon Hill with P.G. Holyfield.
Welcome to the podcast presentation of Murder at Avedon Hill, The Chronicles of Aramis Cragan, written and performed by P.G. Holyfield. Welcome back, everybody, and it's time for episode 7. I just got home from Dragon Con and jumped right back into editing this episode. Well, Dragon Con wasn't the life-changing event it was last year. It did recharge my batteries, so it's time to get back to work. This episode has the largest cast list so far with 5 guest voices. First, we have the return of the Vicar from Geek Label Radio reading the part of Head Constable Lewis. Next comes Billy Flynn, also from Geek Label Radio, as Blake Weathertop. Next is a friend I finally got to meet this past weekend, Chris Miller, from the Roundtable and Volcanicast podcast, playing the part of Lord Avedon. Also at Dragon Con, I got to catch up with John Smar, also known as the Prince of Beer, and he is reading the part of Chef Roland. Last, we have Indiana Jim from the Things Are Looking Up podcast, and he's reading the part of... He's reading the part of a character that won't be revealed until later on in the novel. Interesting. Well, guess I'm just going to have to live with that mini-spoiler. Obviously, when you hear Indiana Jim's voice in Chapter 11 or 12 or whenever he reappears, you'll obviously know who the character is that you secretly hear at the end of this chapter. Anyway, thanks for all the special guests and the guest audio for this week. I'm actually at the end of this episode. I'm going to skip the chatter. So until next time, enjoy. So now on to Chapter 7. Actually, I need to do the story so far. Aramis Cragan and Aaron Parity have arrived at Avedon Hill, seeking the use of the town's mountain pass. They have met several townspeople in the hopes of finding someone who will vouch for them, all in an attempt to gain an audience with Lord Avedon. In Episode 6, Aaron and Aramis continue their search for a King's Head moth. After meeting the town librarian, Lane Nichols, the two heroes find several caterpillars that help them satisfy the needs of Marissa, the town herbalist. At the end of Chapter 6, Aramis and Aaron are approaching the gates of Avedon Manor, a letter of introduction in hand. And now, Episode 7 of Murder at Avedon Hill. Chapter 7, Avedon Manor, the Icon of Eli, the Child of Stone.
Walk into the mouth of the lion and live the life Aj has offered you.
Theroic Ironblade, the Battle at Ulm. Monk and student made their way east to the manor gates. Along the way, they passed a general store and a theater. To the north, before they reached the turn that would lead them to the gates, they passed a small cemetery. Aramis noticed the grounds were well cared for, and then saw why. Father Joris, the cantankerous priest they had met earlier in the day, walked around the consecrated grounds, pulling weeds and cleaning up as best he could without the benefit of landscaping tools. As they walked by, they saw Father Joris pause at various graves, and say a prayer. As Aramis slowed down to watch Father Joris, Aaron grabbed his arm and hurried him along. He wanted to get to the manor gates as quickly as possible. Come on, Aramis, let the crazy man care for his graveyard. Yes, of course. Aramis moved on and didn't tell Aaron that Father Joris was doing more than just saying a simple prayer. He was calling on Arjun to protect the souls of those buried in the cemetery. Father Joris was worried about far more than the murder of one inhabitant of Avedon Hill. Their second approach to the manor gates greatly resembled their first. The gates were locked, and through them Aramis Cragan and Aaron Pertee could see Constable Lewis. This time, however, the other two constables were not with him. Aaron had promised not to let emotions control him as they had when they first met the constables. If Aaron's first question was any indication, Aramis had a lot to worry about. So, Constable Lewis, where are Shem and Lem? If Aramis hadn't been so angry, he just might have laughed. Shem and Lem were names of the two lackeys that always seemed to serve human incarnations of Dopin, the trickster god of Cairn. Constable Lewis got the reference, but didn't respond to the jest.
Constables Tanner and Ulrich were reassigned for the afternoon. What do the two of you want now?
Aramis pulled out the letter that the herbalist Marissa had written and handed it to Constable Lewis. You stated that a letter of introduction would get us a meeting with Lord Avedon. The head constable stared incredulously at the missive in his hand.
I don't believe it.
The two men waited patiently while Constable Lewis read through the letter. He snarled at least once, and then turned to walk up the path.
Wait there.
A short time later, he returned with one of the other constables, Tanner, as they would later learn. Constable Lewis unlocked and opened the manor gate and ushered the two men inside. Constable Lewis directed the two men up the path towards the manor, leaving Constable Tanner to watch the gate.
Again, I find myself in the bad graces of Lord Avedon.
Bad graces?
I had to explain to Lord Avedon that you met my ultimatum, and that he had to meet with you or that my word would be broken.
It was not my desire for you to cause your lord displeasure.
No, I'm sure it wasn't. Maybe this will be what Lord Avedon needs.
You hope we can help Lord Avedon snap out of his depression? Lewis smiled.
No, I hope he'll focus his anger on you instead of me. Maybe I'll get to jail you for the winter, or at least forcibly remove you from town.
Constable, we all want the same thing here, for us to be on our way. We just want it to be through the Olviarin Pass.
Of course, Sir Monk.
They had reached the end of the path, which opened to the front of Avedon Manor. The manor was more a castle than a home. Rock mined from the Olviarin Pass had been used to build the foundations and outer walls of the manor, and it resembled nothing Aaron Pertee had ever seen. From the outside, it appeared that the manor had at least two levels, and Aaron was sure there had to be at least one additional basement level. Finally seeing, the manor answered a question Aaron had not yet asked. Not only did the manor serve as the home of the Avedon family, but it was also the entrance to the Olviarin Pass. Along the center of the manor was a great gate that would allow land transportation of any size to safely enter and leave the pass. The gate to the pass was surrounded by the mansion's many rooms and corridors. To Aaron, it felt like they were approaching the mouth of a great lion. But instead of approaching the great metal gate that controlled the entry to the pass, Constable Lewis directed the two men to a small door to its left. Beyond the door was a large foyer with marble floors. Four granite columns supported a vaulted ceiling that did not match any architecture seen in the rest of town. Portraits of the Avedon family lined the walls of the foyer.
Wait here. Blake Weathertop will be here momentarily.
Constable Lewis started down the corridor away from them. Weathertop? The butler. Constable Lewis disappeared through a door at the end of the corridor, and they were left alone.
So now that I see where we enter the path, how exactly did you come through it 25 years ago?
Aramis walked down the corridor slowly, stopping to study the various family portraits.
As I said before, this was when your grandfather was doing everything in his power to avert a major war with Grosh. As a result, I was sent to Grosh as an ambassador of sorts. On the way back, I was forced to hide in a trunk at the bottom of a cart that traveled through the pass.
Wait a moment. Doesn't it take a week to travel through the Olviarin Pass?
I did not stay in the trunk the entire trip. Regardless, it was not a pleasant journey.
The door opened at the end of the corridor, and an older man approached them. He was dressed in the expected garments of a butler for a wealthy Grotian family, a blue woolen doublet lined with linen.
Good day to you. I am Blake Weathertop. I hope Avedon Hill is treating the two of you well.
Aramis smiled. Very well, thank you. The inn in town seems very nice. The butler nodded. We were very sorry to hear the death of your housemistress, Greta. Blake's eyebrows rose slightly.
Yes, a tragedy. We will survive. However, if you are ready, I will take you to Lord Avedon.
Without waiting, Blake Weathertop turned and walked back through the door he had just entered. The two men lagged behind, just out of earshot of the butler. Aaron whispered to his teacher.
Looks like you said the magic words again.
Yes, apparently I did. Aaron, you know how important it is that you do not bring attention to yourself with respect to Lord Avedon. He is Grotian royalty, such as it is, and frankly, I do not know where he falls, politically speaking. Grosh and you had survived several wars in the past. Even though there had been peace between the two nations over the last 25 years, there were still many on both sides that would do anything to instigate conflicts between the two peoples, not to mention the northern nation of Anara, which would certainly profit from any conflict between the two southern provinces of Cairn. Aaron bowed, half in jest.
I humbly submit to your wishes, Sir Aramis. I will stand 3 paces to your back and to the right.
Aramis ignored the youth's sarcasm. Speak only to me and not directly to Lord Avedon. That should keep things from getting out of hand. Aaron checked his back, ensuring his sword was hidden from view beneath his backpack and cloak. The butler turned back to the two men.
Please, Lord Avedon is a busy man.
Aramis bowed his head. Our apologies, sir. They entered a second corridor, one with many doors that Aramis guessed led to various areas of the mansion. Blake led them towards a large set of double doors at the end of the corridor. Blake entered the door ahead of them, and they followed. Aramis and Aaron found themselves in the grand hall of Avedon Manor. The great room had a ceiling over 30 feet in height, with balconies along either side, so those on the second floor could view the activities below. The great hall held a massive octagonal table surrounded by 20 large wooden chairs. At the back of the great hall was a raised dais, and there were 6 chairs, nearly thrones, located on the platform. A man sat in the largest of these chairs, speaking to another standing beside him on the dais. The man he addressed wore a chef's uniform completed with a large, white, puffy hat. The two men were having a heated exchange.
Roland! What do you mean we have no oyster stew? I want oyster stew!
The chef was wringing his hands together in fear.
Lord Avedon, sir, Miss Greta was supposed to place an order with her contact in Nalia. You know I don't have anyone that can get me oysters this time of year. I don't know if Greta placed the order or not before.
The man Aramis assumed was Lord Avedon stood up in a rage, but just as quickly the anger seemed to slip away from him. The ruler of Avedon Hill fell back into his chair, seemingly defeated.
Go. See what you can do with your own contacts, please.
Chef Roland bowed deeply and walked down the stairs of the dais to the main floor of the hall. He made his way quickly out of the hall without looking once over in the direction of Blake Weathertop and the newly arrived visitors to Avedon Manor. The butler stepped forward and spoke loudly and clearly.
Lord Avedon, presenting Sir Aramis Cragan, member of the Aaronic Order, and his valet.
Lord Avedon waved them forward. He appeared to be slightly younger than Aramis, but did not look well. His reddish-graying hair was unkempt, and his garments looked like they had been worn for days. It took them some time to work their way around the large table and approach the dais. Aaron remained several paces behind Aramis. Aramis Cragan touched chin to chest and then continued his bow more deeply from the waist. My Lord Avedon. Aramis now saw that Lord Avedon held the letter of introduction in his hand.
Aramis Cragan, your name is not forgotten even in this part of the world. You're still retired, I see?
Lord Avedon was remarking on the border of Aramis's robe that indicated his position in the Aaronic Order.
Yes, Lord Avedon. I have retired twice, in fact, from the position of Aaronic Advisor.
but I still serve the Order in more of an academic capacity.
Lord Avedon appeared to have lost interest about halfway through Aramis's statement.
I see you tricked Constable Lewis in order to gain this audience.
Tricked, sir. We only met his requirements as quickly as we... Lord Avedon waved off his statement.
It matters not. You are here now, against my expressed wishes to see anyone. So what is it you want?
Lord Avedon, we only seek entry to the Elviarin Pass. I have a conference at Kith Karn.
No!
Lord Avedon threw the letter of introduction to the floor.
I'm sure you've heard it from everyone else you've met here, but I guess it didn't get through to you. I have closed the pass. You can leave now.
Aramis reflected for a moment before speaking. I just want to say, Lord Avedon, I'm very sorry for your loss. From what everyone here has told me, I can only assume that Greta Platt was a wonderful woman. Aramis realized that invoking Greta's name would elicit one of two reactions. It would either push Lord Avedon over the edge, or bring him back to a place where he could reach him. It was a chance he had to take. Lord Avedon opened his mouth and raised an arm, pointing at the door from which they had entered, but nothing came out of his mouth. He closed it, opened it again, and then relaxed back into his chair.
Yes, she was.
Lord Avedon once again raised an arm, and this time pointed it towards the door that Chef Roland had just used to exit the hall.
And as you can see, she was integral to running this household.
Lord Avedon, why are the constables not investigating this murder? A spark lit Lord Avedon's eyes.
Because they were looking in...
He paused and changed course.
That isn't your concern.
But it could be, if you wish. Lord Avedon pondered Aramis's statement. Again, he opened his mouth, but his thoughts were somehow getting lost on their way to becoming speech. He closed his mouth once more and waited for Aramis to continue. Lord, we can investigate this murder for you. We will discover who killed Greta. As I understand it, you already know it has to be someone here in town.
Unless you listen to Father Joris.
Do you believe it was a vampire killing? Lord Avedon shook his head from side to side.
Vampires? No, I don't believe that, no matter how it looks. Avedon Hill is not under siege by creatures of the dark, Aramis Cregan.
Lord Avedon stood and began pacing across the dais.
True. This could work.
Come again, sir.
You're outsiders. You could do this.
Outsiders?
Constable Lewis and his men were not negligent. Lewis, especially. But their judgment is clouded. We're a small town, Sir Aramis. Less than 50 people call Avedon Hill home.
So few.
We aren't exactly the most inviting location in Groge. Hard winters, little chance for employment, or fending for oneself here as a farmer. Many people pass through, but Avedon Hill remains only for the few of us who love it so, like Greta and her family.
Lord Avedon was getting off track. You were saying about the constable's judgment.
Yes. The head constable is close to nearly everyone in town. He was not equipped to deal with this investigation. I doubt that any in Avedon Hill could be. You, however, are not burdened with such ties.
True, my lord. I only know one person here in town, my cousin Red. Lord Avedon smiled for the first time since they had entered the Great Hall.
So it is true. Cousin Red actually does have a cousin.
That seems to be the running joke. I am glad something still makes people laugh here.
Well, that's fine. Red has had no contact with Greta that I know of, so it shouldn't be an issue. Here is what will happen. You will discover who murdered Greta. We can show everyone that this was a crime of human nature and not some demonic plot. I will then grant you access to the Olviarin Pass.
Thank you, Lord Avedon. We are at your service.
Yes, that will do nicely.
Lord Avedon had a gleam in his eye.
I hereby grant you temporary constabulary powers. You will answer to Head Constable Lewis as needed, but you have the authority to do what you need to carry out this investigation. Your first order of business will be to take a look at the courtyard. I'll have Lewis meet you there.
The courtyard, Lord? Lord Avedon had stopped pacing and had sat back in his chair.
It is where Greta's body was found. She went there almost every evening to read or just to enjoy the open air. It's where someone sought her out and took the light of her life, snuffing it out like a candle.
Aramis heard the fire in Lord Avedon's voice. Was any evidence found in the courtyard?
You will be able to see that for yourself. The only thing that has been moved from the courtyard was Greta's body. You should go there now. Walk through the double doors at the rear of the hall. There will be a guard that will show you where to go.
Aramis turned to Aaron, and they both began walking towards the doors. After only a couple of steps, Aramis stopped and turned back to Lord Avedon. We will need to see the body. A short gasp escaped Lord Avedon, but he recovered quickly.
Very well. I will send word now to Gloria Platt, Greta's mother. I will tell her what is going on and ask permission for you to enter Greta's mausoleum.
Greta's mother lives here in Avedon Hill.
No, she moved away after she retired as housemistress 8 years ago. She was on her way here to visit her daughter, but instead had to attend her funeral.
And Greta has been your housemistress ever since her mother retired?
Yes.
And who will be taking over Greta's duties?
I'm giving Gloria some time, but I hope she will resume her duties until we can find a capable replacement.
I see. Thank you, Lord Avedon. They turned to continue towards the courtyard, but Lord Avedon stopped them.
One more thing, Sir Aramis. My children are not suspects in this matter. Speak to them only if you must, and do nothing to cause them more grief. Am I understood?
Without missing a beat, Aramis again lowered his chin to chest. As you wish, Lord Avedon. Aramis Cragen and Aaron Pertee proceeded out of the manor's great hall. There was a guard on the other side of the double doors, as Lord Avedon had said. The guard had obviously heard everything that had gone on in the hall and immediately gave the two men directions to the courtyard. How many guards work here in the manor?
Six, Sir Aramis.
Two are on duty at any time.
Just two?
Yes. Yes, sir. The shifts were changed for a while, so four of us were here at all times, but Lord Avedon ordered us back to our normal schedule this morning.
Aramis had more questions for the guard, but they could wait. Aramis and Aaron started down the corridors that would lead them to the manor's courtyard.
Leave his children out of it!
Aaron had successfully kept his mouth shut during the audience with Lord Avedon, but could not contain himself any longer.
The most logical suspects are going to be people that had access to the manor and this courtyard, right?
Yes, we will cross that bridge when we reach it. Something tells me that's why Constable Lewis is no longer allowed to investigate this murder. We have to make sure we do not cross whatever lines Lord Avedon draws for us. Aramis smiled. Unless we have to, of course. Well, it looks like we are on our way. Aramis paused. Maybe you should go back west to Thorn's Way. I'm supposed to be taking you to a religious conference at Kith Karn, not investigating a murder. Your family might be less than pleased with today's events.
I think not. Like you have said many times, I need life experiences, not the limited exposure available at royal court. And I've learned more today than I have during the last season living with you, Aramis.
Yes, maybe you have at that. Well, as long as you continue to observe before taking action, you should be fine. Aramis and Aaron continued down the long hallway. At the same time, an ear that had been resting against a wall of a hidden corridor, a dark passageway that ran parallel to the more public hallway, moved. The strange voices were no longer audible, and discovering just who these people were was important to this one. The figure moved quickly down the dark stone path. To that one, traversing the manor's secret passages was second nature. Light was not required for safe movement. The figure eventually reached a dimly lit intersection, with plans on following the path the newcomers had taken. But before the new direction could be taken, this figure crossed paths with another that had been waiting for it, and moments later, it lay unconscious on the stone floor.
What in Azure's name were you thinking? If you were discovered...
The new figure paused, listening for movement, or the voices of the visitors with whom Lord Avedon had just met, and then dragged the unconscious form down the corridor as quietly as possible, back into the darkness.
Thank you.
Did Genghis Khan really spread peace throughout China? Was Amelia Earhart a secret government spy? Did Susan B. Anthony have a clockwork army that turned the world into the matriarchy it is today? Maybe. And if you watch This Day in Alternate History, you can find out more about what may have happened. Every weekday, you can learn a little bit about history as told by the crew at Lulu TV. Subscribe to This Day in Alternate History at lulu.tv. We put the story in history.
Warning, the following information is classified top secret. Well, okay, that's not true, but we think it's cool just to tell you that. The subject of this dossier is Random Signal, a podcast produced from an underground Super Ultra Mondo secret facility located somewhere in the Durham, North Carolina area of the Mid-Atlantic United States. Its host is Jason Adams, codenamed Kryptonaut, called by some as a rebel, a geek, and a spitting image of Jane from Joss Whedon's Firefly. Random Signal is a podcast for the independent musician, offering a platform for music too good for the mainstream music industry. More data can be obtained on the Random Signal at randomsignal.com. It is your mission to fill your podcatching client with many episodes of Random Signal, a podcast that is so totally Airwolf that Ernest Borgnine is starting up a Backstreet Boys tribute band just so he can get an interview on it. Subscribing to Random Signal is your first priority. End of file.
Okay, guys, roll to hit the Vampire Gazebo. You hit.
Hey, guys, what are you doing? Role-playing?
Oh, no, it's that guy. No, we're not doing anything. We're just watching TV.
Aw, that's too bad, because I brought along my new gaming girlfriend.
Hello, boys. Mind if I max out on charisma?
Whoa! Hey, did you get that hot gaming girlfriend from listening to Gamer the Podcasting?
Yeah, of course!
Gamer the Podcasting does not actually get you a hot gamer girlfriend. What it actually does is give you useful advice on tabletop role-playing, live-action role-playing, and all other forms of role-playing games. Sometimes we talk about other games. We can do whatever we want. It's our own podcast. Visit us on the web at www.gamerthepodcasting.com.
You've been listening to Murder at Avedon Hill, a podcast novel written and performed by the author. Please visit pgholyfield.com for more information on this novel and the author. Most of the music in this podcast provided by Shira Common through magnatune.com. Magnatune.com, they are not evil. Additional music generously provided by Kevin McLeod through incompetech.com. This podcast is copyright 2007, PG Holyfield, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 2.5 license.